Well, good evening. I too welcome each one out here this evening, and you can turn with me if you're not already there to 1 Corinthians 11. We're reading 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. So as we, you know, when we have the communion service and partake of these symbols here, and it's a reminder of what Christ has done for us. He has shed his blood and given his body for us. He has bought us with a price. We are no longer our own. We are his. We belong to him. And I think about that as I go from day to day. I think it's important to remember that we are not our own. He has bought us with a price. We are his. We are now serving something, someone bigger than ourselves. We are serving King Jesus. We are serving a different kingdom. We're not serving the kingdom of this world anymore. We are serving a different kingdom. And so, all that we do each and every day, our decisions, our attitudes, our actions, our words, hopefully we keep that in mind, that they are they bring glory to God, and that we are serving Jesus Christ in his kingdom. So we look forward to what our brother has to share with us tonight from God's word here. And before we do that, let's kneel for a word of prayer.
We want to bring you greetings and blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be with you and worship with you this evening. I've always felt or saw Pleasant Hill as a sister church to ours. As a boy growing up, we would come and visit with you and worship with you. And over the years, as I now look out over the audience, there are many seats that are empty, and there are many voices that are silent over those years that we've been coming to Pleasant Hill. It's a sobering thought to think about. Time marches on, whether we want it to or not, whether we're ready for it or not, time marches on. And so we're glad that you're here, not because I'm preaching, but because we've gathered together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And he speaks to each one of us in an individual way as we come to worship together. And that's what makes it so great, that we get out of it what we put into it and what he has for each one of us. It's just been a week since we've remembered Memorial Day as an official holiday in most of the states that we live in. A day set aside to honor all of the American wars, and the custom is to paying homage to the deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. You see, it may just be considered a day off, a three-day weekend, but those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than just a day off. What should be our role as believers in Jesus Christ as we think about the world as they look and consider those that have lost their life in the service of the nation? You know, I've struggled with this thought for many years, And I was really very uncomfortable of how to handle someone or a family or a friend who had lost someone in military action. How do we celebrate Memorial Day, or how should we celebrate Memorial Day so that it means something in reference to our position in Jesus Christ? You know, after we think of ourselves as peacemakers, as conscientious objectors, and as pacifists, it puts a tension between us and the world we live in, because we know that we want the world to be at peace, and Jesus wants the world to be at peace, but that's not where we find ourselves. And so we see that we have this tension that appears between us and the world in which we live. And this really came to a head some years ago, more years than I care to think about, as we think about this tension between me as a believer and the world, and as they celebrate those that have lost their lives in the service of the nation. I was traveling in Ukraine on a business trip, and we spent a number of days in Kiev. And during those years, which is a little different than I think today, we had an assignment escort. And our assigned escort was a taxi driver. And every day he would pick us up and take us where we needed to go. And we would learn to know him better each day as we talked and as we visited, as we traveled throughout Kiev. And it was on the last day that he said to me, he related this experience, that he was 9 years old when he was a boy, when the GIs marched into Kiev in a victory parade. He says, we stood along the streets, cheered and waved our flags. And he said everyone was excited to be able to think about the freedom that the Allied forces had brought to Kiev. And he said, I was standing in front of my parents, right next to the curb, and one GI passed by, reached down, and gave me a candy bar, a Hershey candy bar. And he said, I hadn't tasted chocolate for over 3 years during the time of war. He said, I'll never forget that experience. And he says, when you go back to the States, I want you, when you run across a GI, that you say thank you to him for us in Kiev. And I don't think that I ever said thank you to anyone in the military service, let alone think about someone who was asking me to say thank you. And so we have this tension as believers in Jesus Christ, as we think about our position as conscientious objectors and peacemakers, that we live in a world that sees life so much different than we. So what is it? What is the right response, or how should we respect those that have served the way they've served? And I thought about that and researched it and thought about it and researched it. And I have come to the conclusion that the Word of God answers that question for us. You see, we have never been in war. I don't think any of us that are here. And maybe it would be a different outlook for us if we had been. But let's suggest to you this morning, or this evening, that we can be thankful that God's Word gives us as believers in Jesus Christ how we can and should respond to the world in which we live in as they celebrate Memorial Day. And I turn to Romans chapter 13, for that answer, or at least part of that answer. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to them for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God's, a revenger of execute wrath upon you. And Paul goes on to write, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only to for wrath, but also the conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also for them that are God's ministering, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And so I would like to suggest, as we take a look at Romans chapter 13, these first seven verses, that we have to recognize that the power to be are ordained of God. For the order and the justice in the world in which we live. And we need to recognize that God has put this structure in place for our good, so that order may be maintained. And those who are current in current events know that the devil is busy trying to destroy the order which God has put in place as far as civil government is concerned. And so we have to honor and respect God's position through the ordination of those who have authority over us. And we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 for additional comments and thoughts on how we should respond. It says, I exhort ye therefore that the first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made unto all men, for kings and for all that are authority, that ye may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. And so we're commanded to not only recognize the authority that God has ordained in the civil government in the land in which we live, but we are responsible to pray for and provide supplications and intercessions for those that are in authority. And we should give thanks for those that are in authority. And so it should become a part of our prayer life. It should become a part of our active life and honoring God and God's will for each one of us who are believers and following his instructions in praying for and giving thanks for authority that are over us. And so, as we think about this thought of Memorial Day, we can honestly do our part as believers in Jesus Christ by doing and following God's word, as we've mentioned in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I wanted to make those comments just to sort of set the setting for our message this evening, to recognize that as believers in Jesus Christ, there is a parallel between our loved ones who have passed and the life of Christ, as we think about Memorial Day or a day of remembering. And so we want to spend the remainder of our message thinking about that thought as we compare our life with the life of Christ as we think about a day of remembering. And so the first thing we need to recognize as believers in Jesus Christ, that we need to remember and mourn the loss. We remember loved ones who have died. We may wish that they were here and had not gone. here to share with us, to hold and to talk and to see us. But because of death, we cannot. And at times we may have to reflect on the past, and we may think about if onlys in the life of ourselves and those that have gone on before us that we love. I was worked for a Quaker family when I was in school, weekends and summer vacation. It was a unique experience because truly they were a Quaker family. And I remember, to honor and respect him, I went to his funeral. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to a Quaker funeral or a Quaker meeting, but it's quite different. And pretty much open for the spirit to move within the audience. And that day that we were at the funeral, his granddaughter stood from the back of the church, and she related this story to us all to hear. She said that she was in college, and it was Thanksgiving vacation, and she had decided that she was going to accept an invitation of a friend and go home for Thanksgiving with her to her family. And she said her mother pleaded with her to come home from school to visit with the rest of the family. And she refused. In fact, she made the comment that I told my mom, I can see Grandpa anytime. Well, she didn't. And as she stood at the funeral, she asked for forgiveness for that decision with her family, because Grandpa passed before she ever got to Christmas holidays. You know, we have only one life to live, all of us. And there are ifs in our lives at some times. We may say, if only I told them that I loved them, if only I'd kissed them one last time, if only I hadn't spoken so harshly. We may replay these doubts in our minds over and over again, but ultimately we know that if onlys will not change anything. And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, as we think about these ifs only, we must recognize that each one of us are partly responsible for Jesus' death. If only we had not sinned, he would not have died. We must examine ourselves as we think of his death, as we stand before the mirror and realize the truth of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am the one to blame. You are the one to blame. I caused all the shame. He was publicly humiliated and beaten. He was spit upon. He was treated as a sinner because I am a sinner and because you are a sinner. I know that if we were the only one that sinned, that Jesus would have still died for each one of us. Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14, tell us very, very clearly that Jesus loved me personally. He loved you personally in that he was willing to die and give his life for each one of us. Now think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountains and seeketh that which had gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more than sheep that of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of your little ones should perish. And so it's a very personal salvation that each one of us have. As we think about this thought of Jesus giving his life for each one of us. And so we can mourn the loss, but the first thing we must do as we celebrate the memorial of our Lord is to recognize that Jesus gave us an example when he gave to us what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, in communion, the first thing we do is to break and we partake of the bread as a memorial to Jesus who gave his life for us. It's as a broken body, one who was willing to give his life, even if we did not follow his call or his teaching, because he is willing to give his life so that no one can be lost. First Peter reminds us of that and reinforces that thought, that it's not his desire that anyone should be lost. And so as we think about this broken body of Jesus, we think of this as a symbol, this broken bread, as we think about the physical body of Christ being broken for you and for me. And so we need to mourn that loss. We need to let that sink in to appreciate, I believe, what Jesus did for each one of us. Yes, maybe we don't always do what we're supposed to do. Maybe if only there are only ifs in our lives, that we say as we look at our life and look backwards in our life and say there's some things that have happened and I've done that I shouldn't have done. And Jesus said to us, that's not the important thing. The important thing is you need to remember that I've gave my life for you. I have my body broken for you. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. Well, the second thing or thought that we want to bring to our attention as we remember the mourning of the loss, we need to remember their lives. Part of our emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the lives of those loved ones who have passed. It's part of the getting well again as we think about remembering those who have passed. I remember that Grandma and Grandpa Myers, who lived in East Berlin, we did not really visit often. And after Grandpa Myers passed away, we visited for a meal one time. We were Grandma invited us for a meal. And I remember that the table was set and they called us to sit down at the table. And at the head of the table, there was a place setting. It was across the other end of the table from Grandma. And no one sat in that chair. No one used that place sitting. And Grandma said, it's for the unseen guest. And I knew who she was talking about. She was talking about Grandpa. It was a reflection on her ability to process this loss and to remember their lives as they gathered together to eat. Grandma Myers used that method of providing healing, emotional healing, on her part as she no longer could speak with or talk with Grandpa Myers. You see, headstones that are put over the graves are a testimony to those that are buried there. And so if we take a walk in the cemetery, there are some memorials to those who have died. And some of the descriptions that we may find on the tombstone, gone too far. We will miss you much. Safe in the arms of Jesus, faithful unto death, gone but not forgotten, a tender mother and a faithful friend, asleep in Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. All these messages tell us a little bit about the one who is buried under those headstones. And it's a way of healing. It's a way to heal our emotions as we remember those who have gone on before us. And I'm sure that many of you can relate to that, of what those loved ones that made an impact in your life, you thought a lot about, and you miss dearly. But we have to heal emotionally, and we do that through remembering their lives. The epitaph that Jesus left us tells us something about him. Inscribed for all of us are the words of Jesus, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so Jesus left us the message to do these things as a remembrance of him and his willingness to give his life and to give his body. You see, what we need to remember about Jesus is, and I want to reinforce it again, that he died for me. He died for you. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we can now be part of the body of Christ, the family of Christ, because of the gift that he has given to us and that we are called to remember him and to do those things in a remembrance of him. It also included the shedding of his blood. We have the account and we know the account. We have it recorded for us over in our minds at least twice a year, where we spend time reflecting on the command that Jesus gave to us to remember him. And so, during the day of remembering, we remember their loss, we remember their lives, and we are thankful for their sacrifice. The last act of acknowledgement is to those who have passed away. It may be a father, it may be a mother, it may be a child, it may be a relative. They're all people that have affected our lives in many and different ways. But I would like to suggest this evening that you do one thing. Go to the graveside of the one whom you loved for a time of meditation. It may be a father, it may be a mother, it may be a relative, it may be a friend. But stand by their grave. This is maybe seems to be a foolish exercise, but it's one that I believe helps us to grow and to remember the sacrifice that they made for you and me in our lives while they were alive. And ask yourself a couple questions. And that first question, as you stand by the graveside, what would they say about what I'm making of my life? If they could talk to me, what would they say? Would they commend me for what I have achieved and what I've taken responsibility for and what I've done? Or would they be disappointed? Would they have some words of discouragement in the fact that maybe we did not live up to the quality of life that they had hoped we would? And I think you need to just let that sink in. As we think about this thought of this question, the second question would be, what would they say about the decisions that I have made or did not make? If they could talk to us, And as we think about their life and as we stand by their grave and reflect on our life and reflect on their life and the impact that they had on us, what would their answer be to us? Would they be satisfied? Are we satisfied that they would be satisfied? I think that's an exercise that we maybe think is a little silly, but try it and see what it does for you as you think about the and remember the sacrifices that they made for me and for you. You see, they are no longer with us, but we live through them in our life. A lot of what I am and a lot of what you are is because there were loved ones who invested in their life and in your life to help you to grow and to make you what you are today. We are a reflection of their life as we live our life. Think about that. Let that sink in. And spend a little time in the graveyard. And go to the loved one. And see what the results would be and what it would do for your life. You see, we need to be thankful that they were willing to sacrifice to give us and influence our lives to help make us today what we are. It's fitting to remember that almost 2,000 years ago, the one who set us free from spiritual tyranny, Jesus single-handedly fought against all the forces of evil. He stood alone at the cross. And he did it, as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, whereas by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's what he did to us. That's what he invested in our life. He was willing to give his life so that we could have life and have life eternal. Because we have sinned. We were born into a family of sin because of Adam and his sin. We don't have a choice. We are here. And so therefore, we need to understand that the sacrifice that Jesus made was one that's almost unspeakable. But he did it for you and for me. You see, we can see the outstretched hand of God, Jesus towards God, and the other hand towards the rebellious man as he makes the gulf connection when he said, "It is finished," on the cross. The plan of salvation was complete. Mankind was given the opportunity to salvation. All we have to do is say yes to his call. And so, John chapter 15, I think, gives us a little bit of a lesson that maybe we need to think a little bit harder about in verses 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye were do whatever I command you. And so when Jesus says it is finished, and we think about the sacrifice that he made for each one of us, it helps us to reflect on the value of what he did for my life and what he did for your life. Just as we think about those loved ones that have gone before us, and the sacrifice that they made for each one of us to help give us value in the life that we live today. We are a friend of Jesus, and a friend that was willing to give his life for each one of us. And he reminds us over and over again to the words, "If ye do whatever I command you," we need to follow his calling. We pray that there's no if-onlys in our life. You see, Jesus continues to remind us that we are to do those things in remembrance of him. And when you go to the cemetery, do you remember that the many things that they did for us, as we reflect on their life and their involvement in our life, they have done for each one of us? And so they also say, do these things in remembrance of me. Behave yourself. Stay strong. Finish strong. Be busy in the work of the Lord. Be busy in the ministry that God has called you to. And on we can go. Those are the kind of things that we remember and should remember. You see, in closing, I would like to suggest that really every day should be a day of remembering for each one of us what Jesus did for us and what those that have gone on before have done for us. That will help us to grow. It will help us to grow stronger. It will help us to make the right decision. It will charge us with that responsibility that we are a part of the family of God. And if we're a part of the family of God, we want to act like we're a part of the family of God, with the blessings of the family of God to share together. May God add his blessings to his word this evening. What is to happen next here?
Okay. I'd like to thank Brother Wilbur for sharing with us tonight. He gave us a lot to think about. Thank you, Brother. I had to think of those that passed away within the past year. It's hard to believe that some of them are going almost a year already. I think of Arthur Arndt, Aunt Geneva, Vera Fodor, Fred Miller, Sister Anna May. I feel like I'm missing somebody, but I learned to appreciate all of them, and I think about them a lot, and what they meant to us. I know Brother Arthur, I considered him a good friend and a brother. I just always enjoyed talking with him, but maybe after church, Sunday evenings or whatever. And I think of my Aunt Geneva a good bit, how much she helped our family. I think she helped with all my siblings when they were babies, and she did a lot for us. And I remember my dad used to tell us that we should always respect her and treat her nice. I can't help but think of my parents. They've been going a while. Mom and Dad, think of them a lot. In 2 weeks, it's Father's Day, and I was thinking how much respect I had for my dad, and I would have never raised my voice or talked back to him, either my mother or dad, or I'd have been in big trouble if I would have, and I'd have been heading toward the woodshed or
And I see children nowadays that rule their parents, and it really saddens me. Brother Wilbur talked about if onlys, and I know I have some of them if onlys, but we can't live on our regrets. We got to move on. I mean, we need to take responsibility for our lives and set an example for those that come after. There's others that I think of from time to time, and I'd like to give opportunity to someone that would like to mention a loved one that's going on, or brother or sister in the church, and feel free to come forward, and you can use the mic right here. I'd like to hear some testimonies tonight, if you will. Brother Jim.
I hope that Wilbur will understand what I'm going to say. It's to the glory of God, because Sister Cass, from Mother Whitefoot, they never had any trouble with Wilbur. Wilbur was always extremely appreciative of the home that they gave him. And I think if we know that, the words that he shared with us tonight have more meaning. I'm glad I got to know that. And that's a good example. That's a good example for children in the morning.
Thanks, Jim. Anyone else want to say a few words? If not, we'll have a closing prayer, and after the prayer, Brother Andy will lead us in a hymn, and we'll be dismissed. So let's stand for closing prayer.